Good evening to everyone. First of all, I just want to thank God for this opportunity and also the pastor for allowing us to come. And also thank you for supporting the Marietta Bible College Choir and the ISO Filipino over in your mission board section. And also thank you for supporting him. My name is Ronnie Morales. And I got my wife here, Emily. We are supposed to bring our children, two kids, but suddenly they have a choir trip, so they missed this opportunity. But again, preacher, thank you for allowing us to come. Tonight, I just want to share something. I am the oldest among 11, but two of us died when they were young. One passed away, and the other one was a miscarriage, so we're 9 living. And we were born and raised in a Catholic family, strict, fanatic Catholic family. And when I was a little boy, my dad worked in a bus company, like your Greyhound here. And because of the changes of his route and the schedule, we need to move from place to place from time to time. And that's how I grew up, and I met a lot of people who really influenced my life. Alcoholic, drug addict, those who didn't respect elders, and gamblers, those who smoke cigarettes, and all of those. And they influenced me. So at my young age, when I was about 12 years old, I started drinking alcohol and became alcoholic. And I smoked cigarettes when I was 14, and I gambled. And by the time I was 16 years old, I was already in dope and drugs and all of that, and I didn't respect elders. And there was a time that my dad and I had argument. I took a knife. I was about to stab him. He ran out. When he came back, he got a cop. And he told the cop to shoot me without any responsibility. And also, there was a time that I pointed out my fingers to my mother, and I told her that, you know, if God will allow me to choose parents, I'm not going to choose them. But on September 30, 1992, it was on Wednesday night, about 8:30 in the evening, I came to a little church. I had my friends with me. The service was over, and the Christians, they were in fellowship. When they saw us, somebody just got up, took his Bible, and shared us the Romans road. Romans 3:10, 3:23, 5:8, 5:12. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. And chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. And chapter 10, verse 13. And he added some additional scriptures like John 3:16 and Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. And John chapter 6, verse 37. And it was the very first time I heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I was convicted of my sin. So without any hesitation, about 9 o'clock that evening, I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and personal Savior, and I got saved, and the Lord just changed my life just like this. The next day, I've lost my appetite on alcohol and cigarettes and gambling and dope and drugs and all of that. And on December of that same year, my pastor sent me to a youth camp, and there I felt that the Lord was calling me to the full-time service. I felt that the Lord was calling me to be a missionary, so I surrendered my life. But when I got home, the first thing that the Lord put up here is for me to get right with my parents. So I looked for them, and when I saw them, I hugged my dad, and I hugged my mom. After those incidents, you know, my dad and I didn't talk to each other for more than 2 years. But when I got saved and I got back from that camp, I got corrected my attitude. I told them that I had mistakes and all of that. And all the family members just noticed the changes afterwards, because by the grace of God, I was able to quit everything. And they saw the changes, and they were curious enough to find out why, and one by one attended the church, and everybody just got saved in the family. The whole family got saved. And I started getting involved in the ministry. I volunteered myself to the church as a Christian worker. And there was a time that I was with my pastor knocking on doors and telling people how to get saved and do so, some soul winning and teaching children on the streets and passing out tracts. And I came to my uncle's house and I knocked on his door and he came out and I said, I handed him a tract. I said, "Uncle, this tract is for you. This is about salvation. This is about what Christ did for us. And just read this and I hope and I pray that you will be saved." But his answer surprised me. He said, "Do you have any salary for doing this?" I said, "No, I volunteered myself to the church as a Christian worker." And you know what he told me? He said, "You're a fool." And it was sad, you know, because I thought that the first group of people who will back me up because of what God did for me will be my relatives. But there was I, a fool. You know what I told him? I said, "Uncle, if to pass out this tract is foolishness, if to knock on doors and tell people how to get saved is foolishness, if to teach those little children and tell them about Jesus Christ is foolishness, I'm going to be a fool the rest of my life." And it's a blessing that tonight there are 10 fools in the family. Yeah. All 3 sisters of mine married missionaries, and my youngest brother is a missionary. I have a middle brother who is a missionary plus me, so 6. And I got 3 boys who are now preachers and two nephews who are also preachers. But 7 of us have our own mission work, but the rest are still in the Bible college, but they are now still at least preaching. On our video presentation, you see one of those young preachers, that's my son Dane. And he preached 3 times a week. And it's just a blessing. I think 11 of us are now preachers. And after we graduated in the Mariotti Bible College back in 2000, we went back to the Philippines. We started a church in a place where we don't know anybody. So we got there, and then our ministry focused on 3 different areas: soul winning, church planning, and training nationals. So that's what we did. We do soul winning and home Bible studies. We teach children, and we use sports evangelism and you know, camps and everything. And by the grace of God, we started the ministry God entrusted to our shoulder, and we train our people. You see the village work. There are 3 more fools out from the church tonight. And also our young preachers, you know, we have 3 more surrendering their life to the full-time service. Before we got here, on December last year, I was assigned to be the camp director of our province. So there were, from the southern part of Zambales, there were more than 230 campers, and I sent 34 on that youth camp. And 11 of our young people surrendered their lives to the full-time service, 8 boys and 3 girls. And our ministry is this: we witness, and those who got saved, we baptize, of course, and then we disciple them, we train them, and when they are ready, we send them to a village, and then we help them start the village work, and when they are established, we send another one, then help them, and they do the same strategy we do. They will also train their converts, and then send them out until we saturate the whole province of Zambales. And then after that, we'll start sending missionaries in other area. So please pray for us. We have a prayer card. I just grab one on your way out, either from my wife or from me. And remember us in your prayer. We are here for 2 reasons. Number one, we are looking for prayer partners, somebody who will commit some time to pray for the Morales family, because we need your prayers. Amen. And then, number 2, we are looking for investors. I say investors because putting your money on the mission giving is actually investing for eternity. And we are looking for someone, individuals or churches, who want to invest for eternity, to which the gain is not material and not on this earth, but in heaven. And tonight we offer 2 opportunities. Number 1, we are raising support for our families and ministries in the Philippines. And We are looking for 25 churches or individual who can support us on a monthly basis for $20 a month. And we have a suggestion for that. You know, just skip to McDonald's every month and then you'll be able to support the Morales' family. And your support will go to the needs of our families and ministry while we serve the Lord over in the Philippines. And this is the blessing. Your nighttime here is our daytime in the Philippines. And your daytime here is our nighttime in the Philippines. Meaning to say, while you serve the Lord here on your daytime, we sleep. And when you sleep, we serve the Lord for you in our country. So practically speaking, you will work 24 hours for the Lord, serving the Lord, if you support a Filipino missionary like me. And the other opportunity is this. If you notice on our video presentation, we have a tricycle ministry. Your bus ministry here in the States. Your bus ministry here is our tricycle ministry in the Philippines. Now, a tricycle is a motorcycle that we put a little cubicle on the right side, we call sidecar, and we are only supposed to put 5 people over in that tricycle. But if you notice on our video presentation, we put 12. And it may be because Filipinos are short and small, you know. But the Lord burdened our heart because during rainy season, you know, our people get wet on the rain on their way to the church. So the Lord burdened our heart, and we are now raising $18,000 for a church van. And the Lord bless us with $13,000 already, and we are in need of $5,000. Please consider that in your prayers. The van will be used for picking up kids and bringing them home, and some church members and all of that, and also for fellowship. So the van will be used for the glory of God, and also for our soul-winning saturation drive, where we will put our young people to the van and then send them to a place, and then they will go saturation and soul winning and Bible studies and all of that. So please pray for us, and that would be a blessing for us if you remember us in your prayers, okay? So tonight, preacher, thank you again for allowing us to come. And I'm going to share a short message tonight, and if you have your Bible, please open it in Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. And in verse number 19, this is the Bible says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." I am reading out of Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, and verse number 20. Shall we pray? Our most gracious God and Heavenly Father, tonight we come to you. And again, dear God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you did for us. And thank you for this opportunity that we can come together to worship you in spirit and in truth. Tonight, dear God, you know my limitation, you know my weaknesses, but I pray that you anoint my lips with your holy oil and that you will help me to speak with power and liberty. Again, thank you for Pastor Steve and his family and this church. I pray that you bless them and that you would help us tonight, dear God, to glorify your name in our midst. And whatever we see, whatever we hear tonight, may we be able to look up in heaven and say, thank you, Lord, for everything. Tonight, dear God, we just want to say we love you, for in Christ's name we pray, amen and amen. The Bible says here, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." There's no question that salvation is through faith in Christ. Amen? The Bible says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith. It's not of yourself." That's not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of work, lest any man should boast. So there's no question about that. I believe we are saved by faith in Christ. The Bible says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So there's no way except the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you are here tonight and you are not saved, you need to accept Him as your Lord and personal Savior, because heaven is real and hell is real, and our salvation will determine our eternal destination in heaven. Amen? But I wonder why the Lord didn't take us home as soon as we got saved. The day we accepted Him as our Lord and personal Savior, He doesn't just took us home. I believe because God wants to use us. Every one of us here can be used by God. He has a purpose. He has a plan. He wants us to be His visible representative. God is a spirit, and, you know, that's the Bible says. And nobody can see God. But people out there, especially those who are not yet saved, can see God through us. So He wants us to be His visible representative. We are the visible representative of an invisible God tonight. God wants to use everybody. And the Great Commission is actually given to every Christian, not only for pastors and workers and assistant pastors. The Great Commission was given to every born-again believer. Amen. Tonight, we are not only the missionary, we are not the only missionary in this building. We are all missionary. Amen. But how can we have part in mission? How can we be missionaries ourselves? There are three ways. Number one, Matthew 28, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Three ways on how we can have part in mission. Three ways on how we can be missionaries. Number one is personal involvement. We need to be personally involved to the ministry. Amen? Personally involved. Now, please don't get me wrong. I'm not asking you about your status. I'm not asking you about your health condition or all of that, you know, because in whatsoever circumstances we are in, God can still show His goodness through us. Amen? God can still show His mercy through us. He can use our testimony, our salvation experience, to be a witness to those who are lost. We just need to be personally involved. I have a friend, and I don't know why in the world, every time he found a good restaurant that serves good food, he will tell it to me. He will tell it to me. He will find another one, he will tell it to me. He will find another one, he will tell it to me. It's either he will send me a text message or call me. Until I realize that he just wants me to experience the good thing. Amen? I think that's normal. Maybe somebody here will do that, you know. You have goodwill here in the States. We have what we call ukay-ukay in the Philippines. Same thing. But you know, here we are surprised because sometimes goodwill drop down their price. They mark down all the prices. And there's a goodwill in Marietta, Ohio. One day we came, and as soon as we entered the door, I saw that they marked every lady's dress for just 99 cents. Before it was $5.99, $4.99. But that day, it was 99 cents for every lady's dress. People came, and as soon as they saw the markdown, you know, they grabbed their phone and called somebody, "Hey, come over here. Every lady's dress just for 99 cents. Then another lady got her phone and call a friend. I think they just want to pass the good news. Amen? When we got saved, it was a good news. God saved us. God changed our lives. Is it not worth for us to share that salvation experience, how God changed us, to somebody else we know who are not yet saved? Of course it is, right? But we need to be personally involved. Amen? We were in Marietta, Ohio, back in our home base in 2007. We were sleeping. I was about to sleep, I should say. We were with my daughter, Danielle. You know her. She's in the Bible college. She's the one who played the guitar on that quartet. And then suddenly, she got up. And she talked to her mom and said, "Mom, I want to get saved. I don't want to be in hell." So that night, we led her to the Lord. She got saved. You know what she did the next day? She witnessed to all the children in our IBMA office. She talked to them and she said, "Oh, I got saved last night. You need to get saved because if you don't, you will go to hell." Personal involvement. We need to be personally involved in mission. As soon as we go out of this place, you are already entering your mission field. It may be your family, it may be your friends, or school, or work. But we need to be personally involved. Number two, not only personal involvement, but also in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and in verse number 1, the Bible says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith." Not only personal involvement, but also prayer involvement. We need to be involved in prayer. Amen? We need to pray for our church. We need to pray for our pastors. We need to pray for our workers. We need to pray for everybody. We need to pray for our missionaries. Amen? Everybody needs prayers. Even the disciples, they came up to the Lord, to our Lord Jesus Christ, and they said, "Lord, teach us to pray." Paul says in Thessalonians, "Pray without ceasing." We need to pray. We need prayers. We are here tonight. We need your prayers. That's the reason why I asked you to get a prayer card and display that prayer card to a place where you don't forget it. Maybe in your refrigerator door. We need your prayers. And like Paul, we are asking you to pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course as we minister. We are here to minister. And we ask you to pray for us that we minister with power and liberty. There are three things I ask you to pray for us. Number one, pray for our service. Amen. Pray as we serve the Lord over here in your country. And pray that the Lord will bless our ministries in the Philippines, that souls will get saved, and that our church member will be matured, and that the spiritual needs will be met. And pray that our workers will have power and liberty to teach children, and that when they will go out, they will find somebody who need Christ. Pray for our service. Number two, not only pray for our service, but also pray for our safety. We're not used of traveling around the United States of America. We live in a county, you know, no freeway, no interstate, no big trucks, no deers. Amen. We have water buffalo in the Philippines, but we don't have deers. And I noticed one thing about deers here in the States. They are not well oriented, you know. They cross everywhere. They don't use the pedestrian lane. So we need your prayers for our safety. On our first meeting, we went to Pennsylvania, and you know, there was a guy who sell his car for us. So I paid for it, and I said, "Our farthest meeting will be in Minnesota. Do you think I can still drive it in Minnesota?" He said, "Yes." But on our first meeting in Waynesburg, Pennsylvania, about 2.5 hours drive, on our way to Pennsylvania, it runs good, but on our way back, it was losing its power, you know. And I was stepping on the pedal, and there was a big truck on the interstate, and, you know, the RPM is on 3,000, the speed is 55. We need your prayers for our safety. We need your prayers for our struggles. We struggle here sometimes, especially in communication. You know, there in the Philippines, we have three major islands, the Luzon, Visayas, and Mindanao, and out of those three major islands, we have 7,100 different islands, and we have 126 different dialects in the Philippines. Filipino is our national dialect, and English is our secondary dialect. But since, you know, when I was in school back in elementary days, our public school were not as good as it is today because they didn't teach phonics back in my time. And since I didn't even expect that the Lord will gonna bring me here in the States, you know, in 1997, I didn't pay attention to English. I actually learned my English here in the Marietta Bible College. Actually, aside from yes and no, what, how, the first English word I've ever learned is uh-huh. Uh-huh. I remember I was on the plane and the flight stewardess came up and she said, Sir, what do you want to drink? Coffee or lemonade? I was observing before she came and I heard people say, uh-huh. So that's what I said. I said, uh-huh. She said, Sir, I said, what do you want to drink? Coffee or lemonade? I said, for the second time, I said, uh-huh. She was looking around and she was trying to find an interpreter, you know. But suddenly, I saw somebody stood with a can of Coke on his hand and I said, Coke. She ran out. When she came back, she got a Coke, can of Coke. We're fine. But when I was in the Bible College in Marietta, somebody told me that if you really want to go on deputation, trying to raise support from American churches, you need to learn English. So I started teaching children. And they were the one who teach me how to speak English. Yeah, I was teaching children and I said, I was riding in the this and the vehicle just this. Children says, oh, it flips over. I said, yeah, you got it right. It flips over. And then I learned from them. So sometimes we struggle with communication. Sometimes, you know, we got caught up an idea. We cannot even say a word on how to describe it. And we mess up. So just in case you don't understand me tonight, you just say amen. Amen. We struggle with your food also. I remember one time we were in Wisconsin. And we help out a church over there on their building construction, preacher. And after a day of work, one day, he said, let's eat supper. So we gathered on the table. And he asked me a question. He said, Brother Ronnie, do you want horseradish? I said, oh, preacher, it sounds good to me. Because in the Philippines, we have radish, we have horse, and we eat the moat. So, he went to the kitchen, he took a little jar of that horseradish, take off the lid, took a spoonful, and he said, ah. I said, ah. He put that horseradish on my mouth, and as soon as it touches my tongue, I cried. I cried. But just for him not to be upset, you know, by the grace of God. So pray for us. In the ministry in the Philippines, we have victories, we have blessings, but there were times that we also struggle. Amen. We need your prayers. I remember one time our support dropped down and we cannot even pay our bills. And you know what happened? Amen. If you don't pay the bills, they will cut off their services. So that day, the electric company came because we were 3 months behind our bills and we were not able to pay it. They cut off our electric service and for 3 months we don't have electricity in the house. And I remember my wife using a cardboard, you know, she do this for the children just to make them a little comfortable every night. But you know, we thank God. There were times that I look up in heaven and I say, Lord, is this the reward of our service? But you know what? Through it all, God help us. Because every time I called somebody here in the States, every time I sent an email to our friends here, all of them say, we pray for you. We need prayers. If you want to be involved and be a part of mission, There are three ways: personal involvement and prayer involvement. And last, number three, in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 15, "Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only." Personal involvement, prayer involvement, number three, financial involvement. You know, even the Lord Jesus Christ received offering from people during His earthly ministry in Luke chapter 8. Yeah, He received offering from people for Him to be able to accomplish what God had called Him to do on His earthly ministry. Mission and giving cannot be separated. They are inseparable. They are twins. Amen. And I thank the Lord because as I look on your walls, I can see a lot of missionaries. I thank the Lord because every Sunday night you receive offering for your missionary support. It means one thing. You are investing in the lives of those missionaries, whereas your gain, your profit, will be eternal up in heaven. It means you are financially involved in mission. Amen? You are financially involved in mission. And there is no greater investment than our investment to the work of God. There's no greater investment. Or we can invest in property, we can invest in cars, we can invest in houses, but those things will be burned someday. But our investment to the work of God will be eternal. Amen. Someday up in heaven, I saw Jerry Maluya over there, and I saw two other American missionaries who serve in the Philippines. We thank God for them. We are not in competition. What we are trying to do is to help the American missionaries in the Philippines reach our own people. We thank God for them. Someday in heaven, there will be brown-skinned Filipinos tapping your shoulder, thanking you for your sacrifices, your giving, your mission support. Amen? There are three ways tonight on how we can have part in mission: personal involvement, prayer involvement, and financial involvement. And with those three things, we can glorify our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Preacher, thank you so much. God bless you. And thank you.